Good morning. Welcome to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. You're going to hear from men staying with us about their journeys with addiction and/or homelessness, their struggles and their triumphs, and how, with the help of Neighbors of Hope, they're learning that through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Stephen Palmer, Executive Director of Neighbors of Hope, and on this edition of Word Made Flesh, we opted to look at some of Paul's writings from his last letter, the letter to the Romans. And before we went on the air, we were discussing all the things that our nation and even the world is really struggling with these days, and particularly here in the United States. This past week has been quite trying for all of us at various levels. And I think as a Christian, my spirit of compassion is that, you know, I see it even in my own life, but there's this deep temptation to concede to a false reality of disparity. Mm. Right? I mean, it was only just a couple weeks ago. It seems like whoever you talk to is like, we're this close to being out of 2020, right? We're this close, can't wait to, and you know, here it is in the first week of 21, and it's just perpetuating, and we're people of hope, and that can be challenging to work out that responsibility for each of us, and it's most helpful when we can do that in community, and that is even challenging today. So that's what I mean by there's this temptation towards a reality of disparity, and we're really called to overcome that. I do believe that our nation is at a point to where it needs to examine its own conscience, right, on all things that we're doing. And by that I mean, particularly those of us that follow Jesus, you know, our conscience ought to be leading us toward a way of peace. That we can have differences, we can engage in dialogue and even argument, but none of that should be violently oriented. And so the scripture I want to look at with Paul comes from chapter 3 of the book of Romans. And it's where Paul is basically saying, look at the Jew or Greek, none of us are righteous. So if I could have someone begin there in chapter 3 of verse 9 and just read through 18, I'd certainly appreciate that.
All right. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes.
The way of peace they do not know. And so I would encourage our listening audience, if you're wrestling with this, you just feel like you're despairing over all kinds of things, it might be time to reclaim the way of peace. And I think as we journey down the way of peace is precisely how we sustain our hope. Now for Paul, we would find parallel writings in like his letter to Colossia, right? And in Colossians, he's talking about the recreation. And so, what is it, chapter 3, I think he ends with, that God, through Christ Jesus, has made peace by the blood on the cross, from the cross. Right? And we need to be aware that that act of making peace, God has, through Jesus, established an alternative community, an alternative society. Over the years, we've come to know that as the church. And so the church needs to be, right? Christians need to be visible expressions as housing the way of peace, and at the same time making available to others the way of peace. And this is kind of what Paul is speaking of here, that all, because of our sinfulness, have gone away from the way of peace, the hodos. What are some of your thoughts? I mean, how are you doing with your own hope? Do you catch yourself despairing, challenged with the temptation of succumbing to an alternate reality? Right? I mean, it's been a long, hard year in this nation and globally. I know here at Neighbors of Hope, we've had our own challenges. In the greater Lenawee community, there are challenges. We just need to look at the economy of the day. So we know our friends and neighbors and family members are wrestling with all kinds of despairing thoughts and challenges. How are you doing with all this?
I think it's a challenge. It is a challenge. Especially for someone like myself who I think before I became to understand and have a relationship with Christ, like at a deeper level. I mean, like I've always known and always kind of believed, but I never really had a relationship with Him until like after I was out of the service, after I served, you know, for our country in that sense. And it's very conflicting because like lately it's just been very sad to see, have an understanding of what the capabilities of what our military could do to help in this time of need too. Like, because our military isn't about just violence, you know. It's about servanthood, you know. It's about serving, and I think they're there to protect in that sense, which also means foreign and domestic. And I think that's kind of that thing, is there this opportunity to help create peace and freedom. They can come in and help with this pandemic, you know. They can help logistically with it, and we're not utilizing it because we think that, you know. We keep looking at our rights and all these things, and bringing military in brings that they take all this control, and I don't think that's the thing, you know. But and then also recently, you know, with happening, like, you know, the other day with the Capitol building, and but one thing we didn't know too was the same thing was happening in Georgia at their Capitol building. You know, you had people there. It was assault rifles trying to basically kidnap and put demands on their electoral official. At the same exact time, our Capitol building in D.C. was being, you know, overrun and taken over in that sense for that period of time. It's very disheartening, you know. It's very, like, it's like, you kind of question why'd you serve, what do you serve for? If back here, you know, you served overseas or things like that, back here, we're not even in peace at all. Like, we're so divided in some ways. And the division is in the wrong direction. It's okay, I think we forget that it's okay to have disagreements. It's okay to not agree on how things should always be done. But this division is in hatred, not division of peace. Not to create peace. It keeps dividing us further apart and starting to dislike one another.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I remember seeing on the... someone speaking on the news, and they refer to our Capitol building, which is, you know, it's the building of the people. But this gentleman referred to it as the temple of the Constitution, which you get to think of, you know, Jesus in the temple. And you just don't see violence in that temple of the Constitution. A lot of disagreement, a lot of, you know, verbal, and they can even get... loud and somewhat heated, but we don't see violence in that building. And here we have Paul talking about the same thing. So whether you agree or disagree across the aisle in the Capitol building, or whether you agree or disagree as Jew or Gentile, us and them, I don't think Paul's necessarily saying everybody has to become Jewish or everybody has to become Gentile. Let us recall, Jew or Gentile, black or white, right? Republican or Democrat, we're all sinners. And that has to stay at the forefront, or we never know the way of peace, in the sense then the cross never meant anything. And so I do think when we look at what's transpired over this past week, but let's go back. I mean, this comes on top of everything that we've experienced this whole past year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see people that, and when I talk about this reality of disparity, we're into despair, to be deplete of hope. We cannot succumb to that reality as believers. And it might be a hidden blessing in all of this hardship and bleakness that that's not where we put our allegiance and hope in. Ours is in Christ and Christ alone, and what God did on recreating all of creation, as Paul says in Colossians. Right? And Paul's pretty harsh with some of his words here, going, look at they don't speak the truth. They're not kind to each other. You know, the venom of vipers is under their lips. You know, their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. You know, we're swift to shed blood. It's ruin. It's misery. Yeah, we have all tried really hard over the course of the past year to try and abstain from these type of things, right? And so I guess I just want to convey to you gentlemen, as well as to our listening audience, that Paul gives us a reason why, and it's because we don't know the way of peace that comes through the cross. And this idea of peace isn't just some sort of tranquility or the absence of violence, right?
No.
Biblically, peace is all about wholeness, you know, at all levels. You know, our personal relationships are right. Our spiritual relationship is right. Economic relationships, political relationships, everything's at whole. It's wholeness. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you wanted to add?
Well, it is disturbing to see these things going on. In my daily travels to and from work, at the grocery store, it seems like every day I see something that relates to this passage, and it's disturbing, and you know, it's nice to know. I mean, it actually talks in the Bible, you know, God gives us warning about this, you know, and he also gives a way through Christ to deal with it, you know, and to have that peace amongst all the craziness that's going on right now. And that's what I'm most grateful for, that because I'm not perfect. I know I make mistakes. I'm not by any means a saint, and I have my own struggles and issues with things, but just to know the peace of Christ and to be able to receive that today helps me deal with it. And there's still a lot of hope. You know, it's amazing what we can go through, and and all the outlook of the country right now, and still have hope. You know, in any situation, no matter how hard it is, you know, there's still always hope. And for me, that comes from God and from Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and it's just one of my prayers that more people will come to have that peace, and you know, whatever I can do to share my experience and hope and strength, you know, to get to that point.
And I think you're absolutely right. I think if we were to look at what Paul does write in that third chapter of Colossians, And he's talking about, you know, our life in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There is this hope that we can, in a sense, practice on a daily basis. He would say, look at, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. All right, let's be kind and compassionate to those who we come in contact with. Today, we can do that. Mm-hmm. Bear with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgive them. So we can practice, you know, these are things we can do. You can work on forget, which is not the same as forgetting. But,
right.
You know, it's, forgive one another, right? And above all things, you know, put on love. Be, right? Love God, love neighbor. Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And then he says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart.
Amen. And I think, too, and I think some of our problems with this is we have started to remove those reminders.
Yeah.
And I think even if you look we look at us as, I know God and Christ is a worldly thing, you know, but even in America the most, we've continued, and I think in some ways our corporate greed has continued to move us from those warnings that I think even our forefathers had set forth us. You know, if you think about it, you know, most of us don't carry cash on us anymore.
Yeah.
And if you remember, if you look at our dollar bills, what's it say? You know, in God we trust. It was a reminder that is really more about the reminder this dollar bill isn't to be trusted. But God is what who we trust in. This is just a means to pay for things. It's a means to do certain things. But we then in turn, we have to trust God's going to have our back. He's going to be there for us, and we started in our culture, in our history, we have continued as we go forward removing those warnings. Those warnings were kept to remind us because we know as humans we will get off track. The message says we are sinners, we are unfaithful, and we will lose our focus on peace if we don't adhere to the warnings that come, you know, and that we see. And we're doing that right now. It's proven to show, like, we're in such a hatred division that if we don't continue to find some peace and to forgive our neighbors, to tell our neighbors our deepest thoughts, our deepest, what we hate or dislike about them in some ways, or what we hate about ourselves, we will never find any peace with each other.
Good. So to our listening audience, if you're going through this temptation to succumb to a reality of disparity, I pray this little message of knowing the way of peace and claiming the peace of Christ in your hearts is a message of hope to you. So thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, and joy be with you all. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry, our women's and children's ministry center, the Blessings and More Donation Center, our Fishes and Loaves food pantry, Woven Hope Women's Boutique, and of course, this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Currently, we're also in the process of establishing our first Good Neighbor Center. To find out how you can become a neighbor of hope, visit neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.